Would you turn with me this morning to the first epistle of Peter, the second chapter? This letter, the two letters written by Peter to the churches in Asia Minor, was passed around to be read by the brethren. And in this second chapter, the beginning of the chapter is my focus, the first three verses, to desire the word, the longing for the pure milk of the word is the theme of this message. And ask the question, how does growth occur in the Christian life? I'm not talking about numbers, but spiritual growth occur in the Christian life. It's prayer, by being part of a small group, attending church, memorizing scripture, reading Christian books, a one-time commitment to serve God, a daily commitment to serve God. The answer, as we shall see, is that it's God's word. If it's gladly received, produces growth. It's God's word. And some of these things help, but it's all receiving God's word, the spiritual food that we need. And let's read first three verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I want to stop the reading right here. The Lord encourages us to grow. And it's the spiritual growth that he's talking about. Just as if you're a parent, your baby, you have a new baby, and if the baby's not growing, you're entirely justified in being concerned. What's wrong? What's wrong? And we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus Christ, should be concerned. Lord, I want to continue to grow. Just as a baby needs the milk, the sustenance to grow, you and I need that same sustenance to grow. God expects us to pursue that spiritual growth, not to stay stationary in our approach and in our growth, but to continue to follow close to him. As we look at these verses in 1 Peter, there's observed several truths here regarding spiritual growth. And at first, he talks about the hindrances to our growth. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list by any means, but it's what the Holy Spirit put on Peter's heart to relate. They hinder our spiritual growth. He first identifies malice, a sin we need to forsake. It refers to desiring that harm come to someone else. The original Greek word Peter uses is more general and is often translated as wickedness. Laying aside all malice and deceit. It literally means, it speaks of falsehood and dishonesty. Hypocrisy refers to someone who projects a certain image of themselves, but who in reality is someone much different. Envy refers to resenting the blessings that others enjoy. And the last is slander, or evil speakings, which essentially speaking lies about someone and defaming their character. These things hinder our spiritual growth. They hinder what God would do. We have to put these away. It says, put these away. And we say, Lord, would you help us to recognize these things in our life? He uses the word all these things, and it referring to not just these things, but the other things that the detrimental things to our spiritual walk. Complete repentance. These things do not engender good feelings towards one another. It doesn't promote unity, praise God, but it's something that is detrimental to our spiritual work. He says, lay aside these things. And who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to the believer. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to you and I this morning as we have this carnal nature within us. This carnal nature that every once in a while shows its ugly self and causes us to manifest these things. And we have to keep these traits, these sins subdued in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And he talks, one of the other truths here is the means of our growth. The means of our growth, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. In this passage, Peter is not talking about just the elementary word of God, but he's talking about all the word of God, the sincere milk of the word. And I know in Corinthians, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, talks about the milk of the word and the meat of the word. He's addressing a little different subject. And same thing with the writer of Hebrews, does the same thing. But in Peter's letter here, he's talking about the word of God, the total word of God. We should desire the word of God, praise God, in its totality here. And in the previous chapter, let me read the first chapter, 22nd and 23rd verse. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, you see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that caused us to be born again. In the epistle to Ephesians, Paul writes, he says, pardon me one moment here. That you should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It was the word that caused us to be born again. It's the word of God that came and brought the revelation to our hearts. How does faith come? It says faith comes, where Paul writes Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So faith comes by the word of God. And here he talks that we should be desirous of, as infants, as newborn infants, for the pure milk of the word. The intensity that a child had, they have one thought. It seemed like there's one thing when they're children, you know, as babies growing up, they desire the word. And that desire should continue with us throughout our lives. Lord, help us to desire your word. I think of the Israelites when they were going in the desert and God provided manna. And in that provision, there's a simile there to today in the word. That manna was good for 24 hours. They couldn't gather it and keep it for a week. They couldn't gather it in big, you know, bushels and leave it on the side because it would spoil. Every day, they had to go out and gather the manna, food for sustenance. So it is with the word of God. Every day, we have to digest the word. We have to partake of the word. We have to be hungry for the word of God. And oh Lord, I say, help us today. We have so many distractions, so many things in our lives that cause us to take time away from spending time in the Word of God and meditation and with the Lord. So many apps on our phone that keep us glued. You walk into a restaurant and go anywhere, and what do you see? I'm guilty of it myself. You see people with phones on the table, or they're looking at their phones. We saw a couple the other night, they weren't talking. It was a while, they weren't talking. They were both looking at their phones. Another older couple, they both brought iPads into the breakfast place and they were sitting there, you know, looking at their iPads. And I know it's fascinating. You can spend hours just researching and just going every different which way with the information that's provided at our fingertips. But it's a distraction. Occupy our time. You notice they even have apps today that monitor how much time you spend on your phone. They tell you, you know, this is how much screen time you're spending. You're spending this much time on your phone. And I'm not preaching against iPhones or anything like that. No, that's not the point. It's a distraction. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us. Help us, oh God, that our hearts, that we focus on the word of God that is so important, so necessary today to know the word of God. You know, up until the first 1,500 years of church history, there were no Bibles. Until the printing press was invented, the way they had to hand write the Bible, and very expensive, and not many people had it. On top of that, they were in a different language, Latin, so people didn't have them. Now today, we have how many translations? A lot of translations. We have apps on our phone with the Bible, and it seems like we take the more the easier it is to study the word, to ingest the word, the less we do it. The easier it is to enjoy the word of God, the less that it happens. And somehow it looks like we've gone back to the early 1500 years. We have the word, we have the translations, we have the ability and all the helps to study the word of God, but it seems like it doesn't happen that very often. And I say, Lord, it's alert us, oh God. Oh, praise God. We need the word. We need the milk of the word. If you don't know the truth of the word, I'm not talking about being a Bible scholar, but if you don't know the simple truth of the word and study the word, the enemy is going to take you unawares. That's why we have all these doctrines that are proliferating today. That's why people don't challenge when they hear something. They don't know the word, so they don't recognize this is not true. This is false. They don't know the word. You got to know the word. Praise God. It's got to ring true. Praise the Lord. Job says, I love it. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, I have more of an appetite for God's word than I have even for our physical food. The psalmist says in the first psalm, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or the ungodly, and nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the word. Praise God. Oh Lord, let that be our delight. David writes in the 19th Psalm, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, dripping of the honeycomb, regarding the words of God. And Jeremiah writes in his book, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, and I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. And finally, the biggest chapter in the Bible, 119th Psalm, is all about the value of the word and how much the psalmist delights in it. All 176 verses, he delights in the word. Praise God. Oh Lord, let that be our delight this morning, to delight in the word. There's so many distractions and things that put us away and take our time away from God, and the word of God is so precious. The word that was written in the blood of Jesus, the word, praise God, the word that transforms our soul. And one of the other truths is the goal of our growth. He says, that you may grow, that you may grow thereby, that you may grow. God's interest is in your growth, not to stay in the elementary stages of our spiritual development, but to grow, praise God. How do we grow? Is get to know the Lord, get to spend time with him, get to spend time in his word, praise God, that we may grow, understand his expectations, understand the plan of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. You see this, when we begin to follow him and the Lord saves us, fills us with the Holy Ghost, we are sanctified as we're ever going to be positionally. I don't want to get too technical here, but positionally we're sanctified, but we spend the rest of our lives trying to attain that full sanctification that God presents us with. We call it progressive sanctification. Every day, we're not complete. When we baptize with the Holy Ghost, born again, we're not complete. We're babes, and we need to grow. And that growth comes through pursuing the Lord and pursuing the Word of God and letting it develop in our hearts and encouraging us and strengthening us and making us aware of his expectations. Lord, help us this day that we develop as you want us to develop. There's so much to attain in the Lord. The Word of God is so deep. There's so much there that, you know, you've had the experience as well as I have had that you'll read something and see something different each time or something deeper, something that you didn't understand before, and the word begins to open up. And praise God, that's what it takes, that the Lord is opening our understanding to the things of this life. Praise God. We need to continue to move forward. There's no standing still in the Lord. You're either moving closer or you're drifting away. You can say, well, I'm at status quo. No, that's not true. You're either moving closer to the Lord or you're drifting away. And I say, Lord, help us to keep pursuing. Brother Steve had a message Wednesday night, keep pressing for the kingdom. How do we press for the kingdom? We continue in his word and continue in his service and continue in our knowledge of him and spending time with him. Keep pressing for the kingdom. Praise God. And one of the final truths that this scripture says to me is the motivation of our growth. It says, the last verse, third verse, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tasted that the Lord is good. Praise God. That's what motivates us. That's what motivates us. Praise God. Have you ever had a meal or you know, certain food that you like and you just enjoy eating it so much, it tastes so good that you don't stop. You're eating for taste. You ever had the expression, I'm eating for taste? I'm full, but it tastes so good, I got to have another bite. The other night, Kath and I went to Joey B's here at a local restaurant, and we rarely ever order pasta. You know, trying to watch our figures and whatever. But we didn't have a taste for hamburgers or a dinner or, you know, bread or what's, and they had a tutamare. And if you're familiar with this restaurant, they serve it in giant size portions. I think it's a pound of pasta, I'm not sure, but it just seemed like a pound of pasta. So we split it. We said, well, let's treat ourselves. I don't know why we treated ourselves. It seemed like a good thing to do. So he said, let's treat ourselves and we'll have the tutamare. And we couldn't finish it. It was so good. It was wonderful seafood and had a wonderful cheese sauce in there. And we both looked at each other, you know, I'm full, but I got to have one more bite, you know, one more bite. It's really good. Really good. And that's what it is with the Lord. Lord, we want one more bite. We want more of you. God is so good. When we think about his, you know, the enemy puts all things in front of us that it, troubles and trials and things aren't right and we're worried about this and we aspire to that and all those things just boggle our mind. Maybe physical pains or whatever the situation may be, but all these kind of things to take our mind off how good God is. He is so good. He is so good. Oh, praise God. That song says, I've lived in the goodness of God. When we think about what he has done, he is so good. Praise God. We want more of him. And the enemy tries to quell that appetite for God by putting things in front of us. And what is the purpose? To stop our spiritual growth. To cause us to stay in a reduced state and you know, spiritually. Cause us not to grow. Cause us to be, well, this is as good as, no, it's not. There's more to attain in Christ Jesus. There's more, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. He goes on in the rest of this chapter. You can read it for yourself that about lively stones being built on the spiritual rock, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Oh, praise God, that you should be a chosen generation and all the blessings that go with that. Oh, Lord, help us this morning to appreciate the goodness. And Paul and Peter writes these simple verses, laying aside all these detrimental things. Desire as newborn babes, desire, it's as simple as that, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. I want to hear the word. I don't want anecdotes. I don't want stories. I don't want clever orchestrated, you know, things about situations. And today we got technicians in the pulpit. A little bit of the word and then talk about all other things under the sun. Sometimes they don't even talk about the word. But I want the word, praise God. It's the word I need and you need. It's the word that sustains. It's the food for the soul. You can't live. You can't stay away from it. You can't grow spiritually without the word. And Peter says, just desire the sincere milk of the word. I don't know if you pick up your Bible daily, or maybe you've got an app that gives you a daily verse. That's good. Or someone may send you a daily verse. That's even better. But, oh Lord, help us to dwell in your word, to ingest your word, praise God, that you may grow thereby. Oh Lord, you see what the body of Christ, what he wants from the body of Christ is to grow, to be fitly framed together. Find our position in the body of Christ, that God can use us to the full extent. God has gifts that he gives. Gifts that he gives. Each of us are unique in the things that we possess. And God uses those gifts as he places us in the body of Christ to what? To edify the rest of the body. And to be a witness and a testimony to the lost. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Help us, oh God, that we draw closer, that we desire more of you. How's your appetite this morning? You tired of the word? Oh Lord, help us. If we're tired of the word, we need something. We need a touch from heaven. We need to get back to basics. What's important, praise God, is the word of God, the word that speaks to our heart. Like a two-edged sword, the word of God says, it is dividing asunder the joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the word that we need, the word that speaks to our heart. How many times have you and I been in situations or been troubled or looking for something from the Lord, and God will put a word in front of us. He'll take a word that we heard maybe in a message or in a song and bring it to our hearts. And it speaks volumes to us. It speaks to us and encourages us, or gives us direction in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us with your word. I've said this before, and when I was just a teenager, 16 years old, my father was dying of cancer, and I came home one night, and he was having a hard time breathing. And it was hard to take. We watched him slowly deteriorate over many months. And it was really hard to see that. And I went downstairs in our basement. We had a little bathroom there. And I closed the door. And I just got on my knees and began to pray. Say, Lord, I need your help. I can't endure this. And that song, we don't sing it very often, hardly at all. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you. The name of Jesus, how precious. So, oh, how sweet. Right out of the word of God. Oh, praise God. Lord met me right there. In that little room, he met me right there and encouraged my heart. 16 years old. I what did I know? Nothing. I just said, Lord, I need help. I need help. I'm not strong enough. And oh, God is so faithful. God is so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the word of God told me where to go. Go to him. Go to him when you have trouble. When you need help, go to him. There is an answer. There is help. Praise God. Help in the time of trouble. Come boldly. I love the words of come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't you love that this morning? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Bring your petitions. Well, Lord, Lord, you know I'm not qualified. Lord, you see my past. You see, come boldly to the throne of grace. God is so loving, so forgiving, so merciful this morning. Oh, hallelujah. So passionate. So concerned about you and I. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. I'm going to close. Brother, sister, come forward. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, put all that stuff aside. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He is good this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad he's our refuge this morning, aren't you? Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. Comfort and strengthen us. God knows what you're going through. He knows your needs. And he sees the enemy's attack and the enemy's relentless pursuit to try and rob you of the victory. But I'm glad, praise God, we have one who is above him, that we can call on him, praise God, that we can go to him as we feast on the word of God. The word, the Lord will take the word and encourage us. I love how Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit. I love that. The sword of the Spirit. The only offensive weapon we have, the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. The Word of God. That's what Jesus used in the wilderness when he was confronted by the devil. The Word says, and the Word says, it is written. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to dwell on your word. May his name be praised. Do we have a song this morning?